are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our head of Australian economics. And Gareth, good to have you on again.
It's good to have a chat again, Belinda.
It is. Now, on my count, we've had around 10 different economic data releases on Australia in the 4 days of this week already. So we have had so much data to analyse and to give us a really good read of where Australia is positioned at the moment. The most important piece of data that we got was the Q1 GDP numbers. Now, that did show that Australia's GDP growth contracted by 0.3% in Q1. Was there anything in those numbers that surprised you?
Yeah, look, probably not a lot that surprised us. The weakness in the economy over Q1 was concentrated towards the private sector. So we had quite a contraction in household consumption that was down a bit over 1%. And that was driven by the shutdown that kicked in late March. We also had falls in business investment and dwelling investment, and that was as expected. And working the other way was a decent contribution to the economy from net exports, and then public spending was strong. So all up, the mix or the components, if you like, came in largely as expected. I think it's probably just worth highlighting that it wasn't actually a bad result when you consider all the headwinds that were with us over the first quarter of the year. And it feels like a long time ago, but earlier in the year, we were concerned about the impact of bushfires on the economy. Come early February, we had a ban on Chinese residents coming to Australia, which obviously has negative impacts for our tourism and education sectors. And then, of course, in late March, we had the shutdown. So in that context, with all those headwinds, to contract by only 0.3% is probably a good outcome. But at the end of the day, I mean, the read on Q1 is largely academic, and financial markets are really interested in what's happening now and arguably more importantly, the path of the recovery from here.
And on that, we have started to get data for April. We know Q2 will be the worst point for the Australian economy, and a lot of that will be focused in April when those government shutdown measures were the most severe. On that, we did get retail sales out today, and that did show retail sales in April collapsed by close to 18%. So that was obviously a very big result. Now, just thinking about Q2, we do have a pretty big contraction currently forecast, close to 9% for Q2. Now, a lot of the government shutdown measures and other measures are starting to be eased a little bit earlier than what we had anticipated. How does that change your view about how, I guess, the second half of 2020 could unfold in Australia?
That's right. Look, from where we were 4 to 6 weeks ago, the news around the spread of the virus is definitely better than we might have thought. And the economy is reopening quicker than we expected as a result of that. So what we're seeing is an earlier than originally forecast pickup in economic activity and spending in particular. What's really handy for us at CBA is that we're able to track changes in spending in the economy via our credit and debit card spend. And what that's telling us is that April was certainly the low point as far as spending goes, and that as towards the back end of May in particular, we've seen households out there spending a bit more. So I think from a GDP perspective or an output perspective from here, we're going to see that Q2 was undoubtedly the low point for the economy. I mean, the fact that the economy didn't actually contract all that much in March means that the level of which we're coming from in Q2 is higher than what might otherwise have been thought, and therefore I think we're going to see a very big fall in GDP over Q2. But as we get into the second half of the year, we'll see a recovery in the figures. We've revised our profile for GDP just based on the earlier than expected reopening of the economy. So we think some of that spending we initially penciled in for Q4 will now come in Q3. And so we should all up see a better second half of the year than we previously thought, which means that the overall contraction in GDP that we get should be a little bit lower than initially thought. So we've now revised our numbers to look for a fall in GDP of 4.25% over 2020. And it's sort of worth adding that we're not the only ones that have come to that conclusion in recent weeks. We had the Reserve Bank Governor just last week saying that they think that the economy now is tracking somewhere between their base case scenario and their upside case. And clearly that's good news, the fact that things are going a little bit better than we might have thought 4 to 6 weeks ago.
Now, I do want to talk about the RBA shortly because we also had their June board meeting on Tuesday. But before we get there, I just wanted to dive into some of the themes underway in Australia's economy at the moment. And one of the things that we have been seeing, particularly over the past year or so, is a very strong increase in government spending as a share of the economy. And that's meant that household consumption has fallen as a share of the economy as well. What are some of the main dynamics underway there? And do we think that's going to continue, particularly during this COVID period?
It's a really interesting point. For the best part of 5 years now, we've seen a big lift in recurrent government expenditure year on year. So that's largely wages, and it's largely reflecting an increase in headcount in the public sector. And at the same time, we've seen very, very weak growth in household consumption. So we've had this big disparity open up between growth in government expenditure and growth in household expenditure. And what it means is that government expenditure has been rising as a share of the economy, particularly on the recurrent side. I mean, in the first quarter of this year, government consumption expenditure hit almost 20% of GDP. And I had a look, that's the highest level on record, and the ABS data goes back to 1959. So what we've seen is government as a share of the economy grow, and that will only continue through this year, particularly given household consumption is falling and public demand is holding up. So we're basically in a situation here now in Australia where the government as a share of the economy is as big as it's been for a long, long time.
And so they're much more important in terms of future drivers of economic growth as well. Now, turning our attention back to the RBA, they met in June. As you did say, there was a slight hint of optimism in Governor Lowe's accompanying statement as well. Obviously, the economy's tracking a little bit better than they had expected. I think, obviously, the control of the virus occurred at an earlier point than maybe what was originally expected. The economy's being opened up slightly earlier as well. Interest rates obviously were left on hold at 0.25%, same as the 3-year government bond yield target. What did you pick up in the statement? You did mention earlier recovery is tracking a little bit better, but what other points did they make that were of interest?
Yeah, look, a little bit of optimism has crept in, but that's only relative to sort of four to six weeks ago. There's still a lot of uncertainty with how the economy is going to go, and I think that was clear in the governor's statement. The other thing too is they don't want to talk up the prospects for the economy too much, given they don't want the Aussie dollar to continue to appreciate as it has been. And the other thing is that there's a lot of uncertainty, and in a lot of ways we've sort of forgotten about the underlying reason that we've gone through all this, and that is COVID-19. And the virus hasn't gone away; it's just that the number of transmissions are very, very low. But there is definitely still a risk that as the economy opens up, we see the number of infections rise again, and we know that there's probably a lag between the economy opening up and then the virus transmitting, and that's why we sort of got to wait a couple of weeks to see how things unfold. But yeah, that's a clear risk. I think that was clear in the governor's statement, and then there's other things that are on the horizon that we're concerned about how they'll play out. And I think the big one there is what happens with JobKeeper and JobSeeker come late September, early October. When the way the policy is designed currently, it's due to finish up, that's JobKeeper. And then on JobSeeker, that amount of money that's being paid is due to be halved. So we'll have to wait and see how all that plays out.
And in terms of the outlook for the cash rate from here, what are your thoughts?
So it's at 0.25% at the moment, which the Reserve Bank considers to be the lower bound. So we don't think that they are going to take it any lower than that 0.25%. They've obviously got a target on the 3-year government bond yield as well of 0.25%. And we think that both the target yield at 0.25% and the cash rate will be with us right through this year, right through next year. Then as we think about 2022, I know that's a fair way away, but we still think the economy is going to have a lot of slack in it. We still think the unemployment rate will be quite a bit higher than the level that we think of as being full employment. And that in turn means that tightening of monetary policy won't be on the horizon. There'll be no need to increase the cash rate. But at some point in the future, the Reserve Bank will want to do something about the target on the three-year bond yield, because when you think about it, by having a three-year bond yield at the target at the same level as the cash rate, the Reserve Bank is implicitly sending a signal to markets that the cash rate will be on hold at that level for another 3 years. And come 2022, we're not sure that they'll want to signal that the cash rate will be on stay on hold till 2025. So, look, again, this is a long way into the future, but I think the first thing they'll do is either remove the target or increase the target yield. And that essentially is signaling to the market that at some point the cash rate will be going higher. But certainly over the next 12 to 18 months, I don't think we're going to see much in the way of change in monetary policy stance, which means those meetings will be a little bit boring from the perspective of a decision, and will be more around what the governor's communicating in his statement as to how they think the economy is going.
And we'll continue to dissect them for every word that they put in those statements. Appreciate your thoughts today, Gareth.
A pleasure, Belinda. Cheers.
Thank you. Where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. This podcast was recorded on the 4th of June, and the accompanying Q1 GDP release, which was published on the 3rd of June by Gareth Aird, can be found on combankresearch.com.au.